know how we do it.
Welcome. You are now in the village.
What up, y'all? This is Girl Betty J. What up, y'all? This is Girl Betty J. Y'all know what to do with us, huh?
You are now in the village. Home of Taking It Back Tuesdays. Welcome to the village, the kids' corner, the second helping, and music moments.
It's your girl, Lady Jane. Recording from the bedroom, from the kitchen table, from the library there. You know how we do it. This is KK. This is KK.
You're listening to Bluntly KK.
Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. Tonight I have...
What up, y'all? It's your girl, Lady J.
And special guest in the village tonight, folks. From Project Aware, we have Mr. Reginald Washington. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
All right. Lady J.
Yes.
Let's jump into it, baby. Go ahead.
Reggie, thank you for coming. I appreciate you taking some time out of your Saturday to come out here and podcast with us. So tell us a little bit about Project Aware.
Project Aware is a program that really focuses on emotional literacy skills. You know, a lot of our young men and young women, they're emotionally illiterate, which is really funny because when we start talking about some of the issues that are going on in our society, we see kids and we see young men as, substance abusers. We see them as violent individuals. For me, what I look at is the individual who really hasn't got a real good understanding of how to deal with their emotions. Mm-hmm. And the best way I can say that is, as a kid, I know for me, when I got angry, I got violent. That's how I thought you dealt with anger.
Mm-hmm.
When I got sad or disappointed, I got high. That's how I dealt with my sadness. That's how I dealt with my disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, you had individuals calling me, a drug addict, or they called me a violent individual. Well, the case might be that I just didn't have an understanding of how to deal with my emotions.
Mm. And so Project Aware is a program that helps individuals work through that?
It's almost like a three-step process. The first part is just teaching our youth emotional literacy skills. And then the next step is starting to teach social skills because, mm-hmm. I truly believe that when we develop these social skills, we're able to get the things that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part of it is problem solving skills, because for the most part, a lot of our kids believe that solving problems through intimidation, through violence and through drug abuse, it really works. But you know what? You can solve problems without going through those tactics. So mm-hmm. I really focus on those three areas with Project Aware.
Is Project Aware a how does a kid become involved with Project Aware?
Well, right now I have a contract with the San Diego County Office of Education where, mm-hmm. They choose to send me to schools like the juvenile courts and community schools where mm-hmm. I work with a lot of probation kids.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a contract with the Vista Unified School District where I work inside that district and some of the counselors and other administration, they sort of like look at kids who are possibly at risk of being in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of like really get like a group of those kids and mm-hmm. we really just start working on ourselves and building a relationship.
So basically through the contracts that you have in the community, it's like a referral. like a referral service. They say, hey, here's Timmy here. Timmy could be a great asset to, or we could see that he could really utilize Project Aware.
Right.
And so then they call you and say, hey, Reggie, we got Timmy here. We're going to send you this information and move forward with that.
Right. And there's that. And I just gave you just two opportunities that I have to really work with the kids. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's so many different more, like working with the San Diego Police Department. They have a program where it's almost like a diversion program.
Mm-hmm.
And what police is actually doing this round is that instead of actually, you know, putting this kid on paperwork or starting something like that, they try to use a diversion program where maybe a program like mine might make a difference in that kid continuing down that same road or mm-hmm. not. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it has to do with that. My personal best program is the Malcolm X Library program because that's an all-volunteer program.
Right.
That's something that I've took upon myself just to come in and start working in the youth of my community. Because out in Vista, in Carlsbad, and in San Diego County Office of Education, in those areas, you know, I grew up here in Southeast San Diego.
Yeah.
And when I was able to have these contracts and be able to be financially well off and working with that, mm-hmm. I decided just to come back home and really start working with our kids here.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's admirable for you to say, hey, I'm going to come back and work where I first started. It makes, as a therapist, I think that if you can catch a child while they're young, if you can work on their issues when they're young, they can be way more productive adults. You know, a lot of clients that I work with, they have mommy issues and they have daddy issues, and all their issues are stemming from their childhood or stemming from something that happened to them when they were 16 or right. when they were 12 or whatever, and it's unresolved.
Right.
And so then the unresolved issues manifest into now adult life problems, you know? And so we have to take it back sometimes to the basic core of, like, what happened to you when you was 12? Let's talk about that. Let's work through that, you know, so that you can become a more productive adult.
Mm-hmm.
No, I definitely believe, you know, you sound like you've been to our program before. Those are actually some of the exercises that we focus on, where we get to talk about some of the things that happened to us as a child. Because, you know, what individuals probably don't know when they see Reggie is that, you know, at one point in my life, I had a life sentence. You know,
wow.
I was put in that situation where I did get mad one night and I picked up a gun and I shot four people and I received a life sentence. You know, so a lot of people don't know that, but Project Aware was actually created in prison.
Mm.
I mean, because the philosophy for me was that, you know what, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go through what I went through. And when I was going inside these different prisons, and I found myself at Donovan State Prison, the last prison that I was in before I got a date to go home, the most craziest thing happened. I sat and saw the new people coming in, the youngsters, so to speak. And the OGs or the older individuals, they was teaching them how to get bigger arms. They was teaching them how to hold contraband. They were teaching them how to make knives. No one was teaching them how to stay out.
Mm.
And they thought they were doing the best they could for their young brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing for him. It was almost like an epiphany, like, wow, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I started changing the game, so to speak. So, but Project Aware was actually created inside,
mm-hmm.
where I could start teaching young inmates, young individuals who were getting caught up in the system, that you don't have to stay here. This mm-hmm. doesn't have to be your life. Because for that longest of time, I thought it was going to be mine, you know. So I figured, let me try to get back in that arena first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for you, can we speak a little bit to your experience of your going through the system?
Yeah, of course we can.
We don't have to speak. I just had a quick question about it.
Okay.
I just wanted to know, like, as you transition through the system, however it came about, and you found yourself looking at, you know, the kids, and you had that epiphany, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it that moment that you realized, like, I gotta do better?
You know, first of all, you have to have an understanding of the system and an understanding of the time. You know, for me, I had a life sentence. In other words, I didn't have a date to go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my whole life and my opportunity to have freedom was based on three individuals called the Board of Prison Turn and to see, and their job was to see if I was fit to ever come home again. Mm. So it was different from the individual who has a certain amount of time. He does his time. Whether he does good in prison or not, he's coming home.
Right.
For me, that's not the case.
Right.
For me, if I didn't do good, I was never even going to have an opportunity to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny when I just sit back and think about it, because you've had so many young men who are in prison with a life sentence, and when they go to the Board of Prison Term, the board can say, well, you didn't finish this, so I'll see you in 3 years. Oh, you got in trouble while you were in there. I'm going to deny you for 2 years. So it's a system that was really that really pushed you in a position that you almost got to be perfect while you're in there. Mm-hmm. Because the littlest, smallest infraction can be 2 more years added to your life sentence, so to speak.
Mm. That's horrible.
Yeah. The program that you're speaking about, I'd never heard of that. What is it called again? The board?
The Board of Prison Terms.
Huh. I'd never heard of that.
And that's only for individuals who have life sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who has a date to go home, because you heard about individuals say, well, he got 16 years with 80%, or he got 3 or 4 years. Those individuals don't have to go in front of a board.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I was the individual who had a life sentence where I didn't have a date to go home.
Right.
And the blessing came for me is because once I received that life sentence, I started working to come home.
Right.
You know, I went inside prison wanting to come home. Even though I was involved in gangs, even though there was so much trauma in my life that I didn't take a look at, that I really didn't try to work on, me going to prison made me have to sort of like buck up and take a look at who I am and where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, you know, assumed that I was never going to see the light of day again.
Mm-hmm.
Because back when I got sentenced, it wasn't a norm for people who had life sentences to ever come home again.
Right.
You assume life meant life.
Right. But for you, you said life isn't life.
No, life isn't life. It gave me an opportunity to really take a look at myself. And a lot of my inspiration came from my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I left the streets, I had a young lady who was pregnant. And I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that young lady followed me in that gang lifestyle and that drug lifestyle. So she was dead by the time I came home.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter basically never had an opportunity to even have her own house. Because, have her own room.
Mm-hmm.
Because once my girlfriend got involved in drugs and that gang lifestyle, she basically dropped my daughter off to my mother and said, here, you know, I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So you know, that's was the inspiration behind everything that I've done.
Yeah,
was just making sure that my daughter could be proud of me and know that, you know, that I love her and that, you know what, this isn't the end.
Yeah.
So, my question, I'm going to kind of redirect back to the Project Aware side of this thing. Overall, when I'm looking at your website and things of that nature, what is the ultimate goal? Are we just talking San Diego, or are we talking much larger than San Diego?
Of course, I have I'm in love with San Diego. I'm in love with, you know, what I do here. And, you know, I want this to be something that's going to go larger than San Diego. But I want to take care of home first, so
okay.
to speak. That's always been my choice. Like, in next month, I'm actually going to the National Association of Multicultural Education in New Orleans to do a presentation with Dr. Shannon concerning prison, the pipeline, and how our kids are, you've heard of that already. Issue right now. So our program is one of those determinants trying to stop that the school to prison, the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go there to name and present, you know, Project Aware and how it had effect on those in San Diego who've had the program in their schools.
Yeah.
So, you know, that in itself is going to be a networking out.
Yeah.
that joy of mine, which is my daughter, who is who's a teacher in Connecticut now. My hopes is that she's going to be bringing Project Aware out there to Connecticut.
Wow!
So these are my hopes and dreams.
Of course.
But those in the back is, you know, those are my hopes and dreams for right here,
In San Diego.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a beautiful thing. Again, I'm going off of your website and just looking at some of the things that's on there. Absolutely amazing. Some of the people that you're working with, Oceanside School District, Carlsbad Police Department, you know, a few other San Diego County Probation, you know, you've truly taken what your dream is and you're saying, hey, let's try to infiltrate and let's try to get these kids better. And even with the young ladies that are behind us right now, I'm saying, hey, this man is like, let's do this.
Like, yeah, like I'm about to grab you any way I can. Yeah. If I have to grab you from the library, I'm getting you there.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you coming out the prison system. I'm going to get you before you get into the prison system and the juvenile system. You're like, I'm putting in work to get you.
Yeah,
right? Man, I put in so much work to harm people who look just like me. You know, why can't I put in harm? Why can't I put in that same amount of work to save those? You know, I'm up at Starbucks, man, every day if I possibly can. You know, getting individuals to know, hey, man, we could do something different.
Yeah.
You know, this program here at Malcolm X, it's the only program that it's all volunteer.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's damn near standing room only in our classes.
Wow.
Where we focus on trauma-informed care practices, where we focus on restorative practices, where we start really creating a safe environment and a support system for our young black youth.
Yeah.
Because for us in Southeast San Diego, there's not a lot of places where we have that safe environment.
Yes.
To talk about abuse, to talk about, you know, I'm missing my father, to talk about how it feels not to have a male in the house.
Oh, you're speaking my language now.
Speaking my language for real. Yeah. Because there's so much focus on other aspects, but when you really look at the African-American community, you have to look at the home. You have to look at, because it all starts in the home or the lack of. So, you know.
And it's about restoring people to make them whole. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that.
Or not even whole. Just enough to be able to make it sometimes. Because sometimes you can't get a whole person back.
It's just
not going to happen.
That's true. I agree. Sometimes you can't get a whole person back. But sometimes if you start them young, you can't.
That's true.
You know, like I think that if trying to get a whole person back from 35. You know, working through, that may be hard. But if I can get you at 16 and work you, baby, I could do some work with you at 16,
to make you
into that whole person by the time you turn 35.
Because I know for me, you know, as a young boy, you know, something happened to me. You know, I talk about it in my groups, but, you know, there was some abuse that happened in my life. And, man, I was just so upset. I couldn't understand when I walked by my mom and my dad. How can you not notice something happened to me? And I couldn't tell them.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking like, Dad, can't you tell I'm different? Mom, don't you know something happened to me?
Yeah.
And they didn't know. So I had to use drugs to stuff that feeling. I had to use violence to stuff that feeling. I had to do all these things so I wouldn't feel this. And you know what? That made me a prime target for a gang.
Yeah.
I had such a sick need to be accepted by people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have a need to be accepted. But it becomes sick when you got to get high. It becomes sick when you got to use violence.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes sick when you have to take off your clothes. It becomes sick when these things coincide with you having to have friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so when you start having these type of opportunities to finally talk about that, that's how you heal. That's how you get past it.
Yeah.
For me, I have to go through a prison system, a life sentence, and a journey where I lost the love of my life. A journey where I had to see my daughter, you know, through glass and through visits.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's, I mean, just that aspect of.
I mean, but it speaks volumes to why we need programs like yours in the community, not just in San Diego, but why we need them in New Orleans, in New York, why we need them in Albany, Georgia. We need them, you know, because.
Inner city kids need these.
Not even inner city kids. Like, do you realize that this is the issues that you speak about are not just issues that are. Issues of any inner city kids. They're issues that we have as African Americans.
Okay. Right.
You know what I mean? These are historically it's been a known thing in the African American community. You don't talk about your abuse. You don't talk about your issues. You don't talk about the person who might have touched you. You don't talk about your mental illness, your mama's mental illness and that effect on you. You don't talk about being poor, not having no money, not having no food. You don't talk about those things, right? And so then as a child, you hold on to that and you harbor that, and it turns into whatever it turns into, and it comes out and however it comes out. You know, and so then now we're walking around with a whole bunch of little boys and little girls who walking around with pain and molest and issues and anger and all this stuff, and they don't know how to put that out because we don't teach our kids at a young age how to talk about their emotions.
Right.
We don't, and then it grows up till we have unregulated, you know, adults who don't know how to manage their emotions, who don't know how to talk about their emotions, who have all this anger and don't know what to do with it. Like, right. It makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. It's a recipe for disaster.
And you know, the thing for me, which just really throughout my years of doing this right here, is that, man, you notice that you saw Carlsbad, you notice that you saw Oceanside, in these areas where there's not a lot of blacks. I mean, they pay me to come in and work with their kids. I have classrooms full of just Hispanics. I have classrooms full of just of Caucasians, and they pay me to do that. And that's what their payment to me makes me available to come here and do it for free.
Yeah.
You know, and I love my kids down here, but you know what? I love my kids wherever I'm at, because one thing I've realized already, it ain't even about the color. A kid know when you're being real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's never going to be an issue with me, because you take this program right here and you take one of our kids from Southeast San Diego and you take them over there to Carlsbad, they fit right into the group, because the group is about creating a safe environment.
Yeah.
The group is about building a relationship.
And that speaks to the volume that the issues that go on in Southeast San Diego are the same as the issues that go on in Del Mar, are the same as the issues that go on in Carlsbad and Oceanside. Like, the issues are the same.
They're just willing to pay when they see something that works.
There it is.
And that's the unfortunate aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to invest in ourselves right there. That's what it kind of says.
I mean, if I'm trying to, and here's the real truth, if I'm trying to figure out how to eat or pay for counseling,
you're right. You know what? Priorities. And not priorities per se, but yeah, you have to eat.
Yeah.
Like, we have to think about this. Like, yeah. Hey, can I afford the counseling, or do I have to put this top ramen on the table?
And that speaks to a couple of things it speaks to. It speaks to, you know, opportunities. You know, there aren't as many opportunities for counseling for African Americans that are affordable. You know, like that's just where it's at, you know, lower income, and not even African Americans, but let me just speak to lower income neighborhoods.
Yeah. Lower income as a whole,
you either get it through Medi-Cal or you get it through Medicare. And then like the wait list for all of that is like off the chain, right. You know, so you're trying to wait to get into, you know, counseling about something, and they're telling you, oh, I'll see you in 6 weeks. Well, hell, in 6 weeks, anything could happen between now and 6 weeks.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it just speaks to, you know, having the opportunity to be able to the opportunity to be there to speak and to be able to have those services that are available.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And whether it's a financial opportunity or just opportunity of a person being available.
Yeah.
It could be either or.
Well, I mean, you've been alluding to it the whole show here. It's a volunteer thing, too. You know, like
the program here is volunteer,
yeah, the
right?
Project, yes. The program
now,
and
one of the things about Project Aware is that we're going to meet whatever the need is. So here, you know what? It's volunteer because the need is so great and the money is so little.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Now Carlsbad,
they can pay. Yes,
they can pay that. And they make it mandatory for the kids. As a matter of fact, Carlsbad has a divergent program also. It's called the Carlsbad Juvenile Justice Program. And those kids who first offender being shot, doing some shoplifting or being caught with some weed, they go to the diversion program. Carlsbad contracts with me and says, here goes our kids. There's like 8 or 10 of them. Mm-hmm. You have them go through your 8-week program. We'll pay you. And we believe that your services are so great that it's going to divert these young Caucasian kids and Hispanic kids from getting in trouble again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. You see that? You
yeah.
See how that works?
Yeah.
Can you do us a quick one? Can you kind of break down your 8-week program of what goes on in 8 weeks? Like a quick breakdown of that.
I can actually tell you what each session looks like.
Okay.
The very first section is what you would call the introduction. And with us as adults, we understand that we might think we know it all, but for me, my introduction is just introducing who I am, explaining a little bit about my background. So maybe a kid can see some similarities, but the most important thing about this for me on my introduction is, how dare I ask you about yourself when I haven't even said nothing about me? So our introductions are important in that aspect. The other part of the introduction is doing a survey, a 15-question survey, to see where they're at right now. And again, this is a way of us compiling data. So you take the first week to see where they're at as far as the questions are concerned, and then we'll do that post-survey at the end of the 8 weeks to see, has there been a change through that 8 weeks of coming through the program. So you do your introduction, your story about who you are, you do your survey, and then you might just, you know what, give them an opportunity to say how they feel. We introduce our first exercise, and I believe it's the most important exercise. It's the emotional check-in. And you'll find a lot by just doing the check-in, because our check-in is something sort of simple. We get in the group, because I believe circles are the most important way of showing that you respect them. And why is that? They're so used to having the big eyes and little U's. You know, and that's in that arena. Well, if you sit down in a circle, no one can hide. There's no one way in the back seat. Everyone has to be responsible for their behavior, because everyone's sitting in that circle and can see everyone. Now, in that circle, you start by one person all the way around, and you ask something as simple as this. Can you just tell me your first name, how old you are, and how you feel at this moment? No disrespect, but I don't want to know how you feel physically. We're all sleepy, tired, or sick. Can you tell me how you feel emotionally? And there's three words that I don't allow them to use. That's good, okay, and all right. Because those aren't even feeling words. And you are, and you get an opportunity for them to two things. First one is explore the vocabulary of how they can feel. But the most important thing, that might have been the first time that someone even asked how they felt. So there's that respect part again, and then it's giving you an opportunity to show them. And then that's the first session. The second and third session is focuses on emotional literacy skills. We have certain exercises that we do. We have exercises like them doing a poem, but the poem's completely about them, which is one of the hardest exercises to do. It's so easy to talk about someone else, but when it's time to talk about you, you can find out that there's a lot of stuff going on. And the third week, we might do an exercise where we write down on an index card, what do you see when you look in the mirror? Some of our African-American men, and I can speak for myself, when I looked in the mirror, all I saw was a big nose, big lips, and I had no idea I was going to be handsome when I was a young kid. I thought I was ugly. So when I looked in the mirror, that's what I saw. So when you start taking a look at this, you start start understanding the emotions that come about and how do you deal with them. Now, our fourth and fifth session, it sort of focuses on the participants and the need of the participants. If we're having a situation in a school where a lot of bullying is going on, we'll focus on bullying. If we have a situation where a lot of gangs and individuals are at risk of being involved in gangs, we speak about gang prevention and intervention. So that's what your fourth and fifth sessions are going to be about. Your sixth and seventh one, and you notice we talk about the emotions, we talk about the actions of those emotions, and then the last six and seven, which are the hardest ones for me, is about healthy and unhealthy relationships. Now, those are in the household, those are with the boyfriend and girlfriend, those are with the girlfriend and girlfriend, those are with the boyfriend and boyfriend, those are with the mother and father, those are with the friends that you hang yourself around. So with the sixth and seventh one is really the most difficult one, because then we introduce what abuse is. We introduce what healthy relationships should look like. And what you find out is a lot of kids have been in unhealthy relationships through watching their fathers and mothers, or watching their boyfriends and girlfriends with someone else. And of course, the last week is a graduation, where you, you're commended for the work that you've done for the 8 weeks. I mean, you've completed a hard task, not nothing physical, but emotional. And for a lot of our kids, man, they'd rather take the black eye than being called ugly, because the ugly holds on for so long. The black eye can go away. So that gives you just a small synopsis of what the 8 weeks looks like.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's more of a psychological breakdown and rebuilding.
Well, maybe not breakdown, but unearthing.
Yeah. You know, because you do, because emotionally you are definitely making them dig.
Yeah.
So
it is one of the things that's a known fact, there's a lot of crying in the groups.
Okay.
So that, you know, that being able to finally just let this go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've had some kids who haven't cried in years. You've had some men who's hold on to, because you know what? I used to get a whooping and being told at the same time, and you better not cry.
Mm-hmm.
So I was given that type of mentality.
Isn't that an oxymoron? How are you going to hurt somebody? How are you going to get a whooping and say don't cry? Like, them two don't even go together. Nuh-uh. If I'm in pain, I'm supposed to cry.
Right. But I mean, I love my mother and my father, and they did the best they could with what they had.
But
today is a different day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that sort of gives you a small little breakdown of what Project Aware the 8 weeks are about.
Yeah, that's very inspiring. Definitely. Yeah,
definitely amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we have some lovely ladies in the background. So we're going to take a pause, take a break, readjust ourselves, and we're going to get them on the mic, include them to see their opinions about Project Aware.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do, because I'm excited to hear what these young ladies have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mr. Washington is over here dropping some knowledge. And I want to see if it's rubbing off. These young ladies look very intelligent, and let's find out.
Let's do it.
All right. Village, back in a minute.
Your call will be answered in approximately 3 minutes. There are now 6 calls waiting ahead of you. All agents are busy with other customers. Please continue to hold. Please hold on. Calls will be answered in the order that they were received. Easy, 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 easy.
Welcome back. This is Lady J. So I have some special guests. I have a couple of the ladies from Project Aware that work with Reggie. Introduce yourselves, ladies. What's up? What's your name?
Zakaira. Monet.
Monet, drop that beat. That was hot. That was good. She's been practicing that for a minute now. So welcome. What is it like for you to be on the mics?
It's kind of weird.
Yeah?
It's different. I feel like I'm in a studio.
It's like to hear your voice, right? Mm-hmm. It's different. Definitely. So tell us about Project Aware. What's your opinion about it? How you feel?
I feel like it's like one of the most amazing groups that has ever been created.
Yeah? How did you guys come a part of Project Aware?
Well, for me, Reggie's fiance, she's my teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So she brought it up to me one day and told me about it, and I just decided to come to one of the groups. And after that, I was just hooked on it and wanted to come.
That's what's up. She's a teacher at your school?
Yeah.
Shout out your school.
San Diego Early Middle College.
Whoop, whoop. It is. That's what's up. What about you, Miss Monet?
My sister introduced me.
Okay, so you guys, y'all kinfolk?
Well, she's not my sister, but we just have that bond, like.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's what's up. All right, so what grade are y'all? How old are you?
15. I'm about to be 15.
So you got 15 and almost 15, like 2 seconds from 15.
Yeah.
That's what's up. So Reggie's fiance introduced you to the program. Y'all came and y'all was hooked, right? What was the hooking thing? What hooked you? Do you know?
Well, for me, like, I wasn't as confident in myself, and I wasn't able to talk about certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
But as I started coming more often, I started getting more comfortable with myself and started wanting to speak up more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's basically what. It's the same for me. I just love the fact that we have an environment where we can talk about, like, things that hurt us, and we have an environment that people care about us.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that is the group that you guys go to, is it all girl group or boy group? I mean, mixed boy girl. What is it?
It's mixed.
Is it? Do you find it difficult to be in with guys and girls and talk and open up and talk about your stuff?
I don't think we feel uncomfortable because we all have had like the same issues in our lives. So I feel like we all connect on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes us more comfortable to want to be more open with each other.
That's what's up. That's what's up. All right. I mean, there's a group of y'all. It's like six. Wait, hold
six.
On. Five of y'all. It's five of y'all. So anything else y'all want to share about Project Aware, about your experiences?
It's amazing. It like helps so much. If we could get it like for everybody, then the world would be just that much better.
How often do you participate? How often do you go?
Every Thursday, and then we go Saturday for the girls groups.
Okay. So that's what's up. So twice a week, mm-hmm. you're getting that love.
Yeah. Support.
That's good. Good stuff. All right. So we're going to pause so we can get the next two girls in. Thank you for speaking, Miss Monet. Drop me. Give me another beat.
I don't have one, but what? If I did, I would.
I'm going to need I'll you to practice. Work on it. Next I time, I need Next you to give me two beats. An intro okay. and an outro.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mess around, and you're going to be my beat person. I'm going to give okay. it to our beat guy and be like, hey, recreate this.
Okay.
All right? There it is. It's your girl, Lady J. We'll be back. Welcome back. Welcome back. So listen, we have BFFs here. They all giggling, chatty and stuff. Introduce yourself. What's your name, sweetheart?
Kyra.
Miss Kyra.
And Kayreen.
Miss Kyra and Kayreen. I am not going to get that right. Kyra and Kayreen. So, welcome. Welcome to the mics. How are you? How you feeling?
Nervous.
Nervous? You're good. Miss mm-hmm. Kyra?
Kyra.
God, man. Kyra is good. And
Kayreen.
Miss Kayreen is nervous.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's just a matter of some seconds. In a minute, she's going to be like... So what's up? How long have y'all been involved in Project Aware?
I've been coming for like, I can say like a good 6 months.
Okay.
6-7 months.
6-7 months. And so you come here to this, to Malcolm X Library?
Yes.
What's up? What about you, BFF?
I've only been coming for like 2 weeks.
Like 2 weeks? That's what's up. Are you out of the group that's here, are you the one who's been coming, are you the newest one to the group?
Mm-hmm.
What's up? How do you like it so far?
I love it.
Yeah? What do you love about it?
I love that I can just come and, like on the first day, I was just talking, like, I like that I could express my feelings. And it's, like, a family-based, like, mm-hmm. you feel like it's a family.
You feel like you're home?
Yeah.
That's what's up. And what about you, Miss Lady?
What do I like about it?
Yeah.
I like just that, like, it's a safe place for myself to come and talk about like certain struggles that I go through,
mm-hmm.
and like I don't have to worry about somebody like going outside the group and talking about me or mm-hmm. talking down on me, and I like how comfortable they make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
They make you feel like you've known these people forever, and it could be like the first day that you're meeting them.
Mm-hmm. You see, that's funny you say that, because I was thinking that would have been my worry. Like, as a teenage girl your age, I'd be worried that I'm going to go in this group with all these other people, boys and girls from my school who may not be from my school, and I'm going to open up and share, and they're going to run their mouth afterwards. And then I'm going to have to worry about hearing my stuff on the street. You know what I mean? So, like, were you nervous about that the first time?
I wasn't nervous because I basically known all of them. I just haven't been going to the group. Like,
oh,
I'm like, they're my cousins and friends.
Oh, so you just was the one that's like, I ain't going to that group.
No, I wasn't invited at first. And then Reggie told me to come.
Oh, I see. So you weren't invited. And so now you finally got the invitation, the formal invitation
yes.
to come. And so now you're covered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good stuff. Ms. Lady, what about you?
Well, Reggie does an amazing job, like, setting the record straight that what's said in group stays in group. And he has, like, a zero tolerance for people going outside the group and speaking about other people's business.
Mm-hmm.
So, for that day, if we're in group talking about something very serious, he, like, makes it very clear not to go around and talking about it to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you're, like, mad at that person at that time, that's still not your place to speak upon anything that was said in group.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I think that, so with you being only having, you having 6 months experience in it, I'm pretty sure you've been able to go through a gamut of like working through your stuff, you
yes.
know, have you been able to see the transition, in yourself from the person you were when you first started 6 months ago to the person you are now?
Oh, I see a huge change in myself, like an amazing, like a huge change. But I mean, I still have some change to go through. I'm not fully changed, but yes, I can see it. Mm-hmm. Like little, like they're little things, but they're little things that count.
Like what? If you don't mind sharing.
Like, no, I don't mind. Like, I didn't know how to express myself. So now, like, when he asks us, like, how we feel every day, I'm able to articulate how I'm feeling. And I don't have a problem with sharing what I've been through or, like, some struggles that I've had. Mm-hmm. Or, and, like, I understand how my struggles have affected me as a like a growing teen inside of like around this area. Mm-hmm. So with me like acknowledging that, I'm able to work on moving forward and moving past it.
I know you may not have the experience, because, or maybe you have, in the 2 weeks or the 6 months or the variation in between, have you been able to see the work that you've done in group, in your family, in your relationships with your friends, or how you deal with your people?
I feel like at group is like a safe place. Like, I'm that person that I keep everything in and I bottle everything up, and like, it's not good for me to do that. But like, when I go to group and stuff, like, I let it all out, and then mm-hmm. I feel better. I feel relieved.
Mm. Yeah. So for you, going to group is like a place for you to be able to, it's like your therapy. It's a place for you to be able to talk about whatever you've been holding on to for all week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or for you, yeah, because you go on Thursday and Saturday. So it's a place for you to be able to talk about like your struggles for the week. Mm-hmm. You know, I got in a fight with my mom, somebody hurt my cat, I failed my math test or whatever, you know, and I'm just generalizing some stuff. But, mm-hmm. you know, or it could be something even deeper than that, you know. So I guess, so here's a question. With you having a place to be able to go to and be able to like kind of release that, does it change the way you interact with your family? Because now you have a place where you're able to like let go, so you don't have to be as closed off. Think about it. Come back to me. Let me come back to you, because I see you thinking. So I'm going to talk to her for a second and you think about that question.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Have you seen the impact that Project Aware has had on your life in the way you interact with your family and your friends?
Well, I see the impact that it has on me, but I kind of like, when I go home, it's kind of like a whole different environment. Like, it's completely like opposite. So when I'm like, when I'm around Reggie, like, I feel like, you know, like a regular teenager. And then when I go home, it's kind of like having to deal with the same problems or like this, like trying, the things that I'm trying to avoid, I would have to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like when I, like my mom knows that I do Project Aware. She knows about it and like, what's it about. But when I go home, like I'm not going home like, oh, we did this today in group. Like, mm-hmm. I don't talk to her about anything.
Right.
So when I do come to group, like I feel it helps me be able to talk about like anything that I would want to talk about.
That's what's up. Anything else you want to share about? Are you ready for my question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go for it.
Okay, I feel like outside of group, like I don't really have like the motivation or like the support or like the love from anybody. So I feel like group actually gives me that. And being around Reggie, like I feel like I have the support and the motivation that I should have from like, you know, my parents.
Yeah. Good. So that gives you that extraness mm-hmm. that you need. Well, thank you, ladies, for sharing. I appreciate it. Is there anything else you want to talk about Project Aware? Anything else you want to share?
Well, I would like to say to everybody listening that Project Aware is an open group and is every Thursday at the Malcolm X Library from 4 to 6. So if you would like to come, you're very welcome to come and be a part of this process if you feel comfortable enough. So, yeah.
Thanks for the invitation. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That was hook, line, and sinker, girl. You got it. It's good stuff. All right, we're gonna. Yes, you have something else?
I want to say that me and all the girls in the back, they want me to say that we all love Reggie.
Oh,
they keep whispering
so
it to me.
Sweet. That's so sweet. We're gonna take a pause. I think there's one more girl that hasn't spoke, so I want to give her opportunity if she wants to speak. And then we're going to wrap up the show. All right.
Okay.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. We have our last set of people. Little Mama, what's your name?
Delonzia.
Delonzia. It's so, so like fancy. I love it. Delonzia. And Reggie, you're on the mics. Welcome back.
Man, welcome. And I'm glad to be back.
Bring that mic to you a little bit.
How about this?
That's good. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, Delonzia, you're our last female. Talk to us about your experience with Project Aware.
Okay, so my experience, like he said, some people don't like to talk. I was that person. Mm-hmm. Like, it took me, the last 2-3 weeks to finally share my story.
So how long have you been with Project Aware?
I think I first met you like 6 months ago, probably.
Wow. So you've been holding on to whatever you had to say for like some months.
Mm-hmm. Like he tried to get it out of me, but I was like, no.
He was like, no, I'm not. And look, now you hear podcasting. What is that? Like, amazing.
I was nervous too.
Yeah, I get podcasting. I don't know. I think some people think it could be like a frightening experience. But I think we Kevin and I tried to make it like pretty, you know, kitchen table, just come sit and have some tea or some coffee and just talk to us for a minute. So so you only been you've been a part of the program for like 6 months, but you just recently started sharing, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was that transition like for you to go from like a non-speaker to a speaker?
Like, okay, so in group, like, I have no problem communicating and talking with other people, but like when it came down to like expressing my problems, mm-hmm, and what's going on in the house, like, it was hard for me.
Yeah, it was difficult being able to open up. Is it that you didn't feel safe in the beginning, or what was it that made you hold on to your words for so long?
I was just like, because, you know, like, I was like, what will people think? Mm-hmm. Even though, like, it was confidential, like, it stays in the room, like, it was like, other, like, people look at you different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I was like,
yeah, like, what are they gonna think about you, mm-hmm, once you say such and such and such, right? You know? But here's my, if I can give you any advice. And I'm going to give you unsolicited advice because you didn't ask for it. So let me tell you what I think. Mm-hmm. I think there is power in being able to express yourself. There's so much power in being able to talk about your hurts and your pains and the things that bother you and to get those things out there. Because one, the moment that you let them out, they no longer hurt as bad. And the more you say it, the more it becomes a foundation of strength. You know, you go from being scared of what they're going to think to, I don't even care what they think. You know what I mean? Look what I've, mm-hmm, overcome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and after I shared, like, it felt so better. Like,
yeah.
It felt like,
And the next person who was sitting there like, wow, she went through what I went through. You know? Like, it's just something that happens in group that's amazing. And if something happens that when you're able to tell your story, I'm sorry, I'm going to get in my therapy mode. I'm going to get out of that for a second. Woo, I just got all goosebumpy and stuff. Wow. So, amazing. So, well, good. I'm glad that you're able, that you feel comfortable and safe to be able to say and to be able to express what's going on with you, you know? Tell us, what is it like now going from, you know, having your group of friends to having, like, your Project Aware friends?
Well, some of my friends were already in Project Aware. That's how I got into Project Aware.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, but then again, there's like some people you don't know, so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like being able to talk in front of all my friends and discuss.
Yeah. Sometimes it makes life easier when you're able to talk to your friends about what's really going on, you know? It makes being able to just get through life a little bit better,
mm-hmm,
you know? I don't know.
I also want to say, I love you, Reggie. Thank you. Because, like, if I didn't come to group, I'd probably be worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's real talk, you know? Do you come to group 2 times a week like everyone else?
Well, I do come on Saturdays, but sometimes Thursdays, but we're working on it. I'm working on coming all the time.
Yeah.
And that's because her school is so far away. I mean, she's amazing. You just don't know. She goes way out to Chula Vista. School starts at 4. She gets out at 3:30 or something like that and just catches buses and trolleys to make it here.
Wow.
And she could come late anytime.
Wow. Yeah. So you're really commuting trying to get out here. You hustling trying to get out here on Thursdays.
Yeah.
You miss the bus and you're like, ah.
I know, like, oh, I'm late.
Well, I was going to get there about 5 minutes late. Now I'm going to be real late. Well, that's what's up. That is what's up. Reggie, what is it like for you to hear all these young women say, I love you, Reggie. I appreciate Project Aware.
Just, you know, I'll be wanting to cry. I cry so much, you know, mm-hmm. because when I look at them, they're my daughters.
Yeah.
You know, because remember, part of my story is that I wasn't there for my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, when she was born, the first time I ever saw her, you know, her mother was holding her up between the glasses of a jail cell.
Mm.
And I was just looking at her like, dang, man, that's Renice. That's my baby.
Yeah.
And then the first time that I ever had a chance to touch her, I was in Calipatra State Prison.
Mm.
And, you know, and even then, I couldn't put her on my lap because you're not allowed to do that in the prison system.
Okay.
You know, so when I look at them, you know, at the age that they're at now, that's the age where I should have been there for my daughter.
Yeah.
So I'm being there for my daughter this way.
Yeah.
For them.
That's what's up. That is what's up. You know, you are... Sometimes I think the universe has the ability to be able to fix things. You know, as we go through life and we fix some of our mistakes, the universe has the opportunity for us to be able to, not only you, to be able to sow back into the community, to be able to... give back and correct and have teenagers to be able to correct themselves and correct their mistakes. But it also is giving you a healing component to be able to heal the emotional pain and stuff that you have gone through your experiences. You know,
right,
it's like a twofold system. Like you're giving and you're getting at the same time.
Oh, most definitely. There's not a doubt about that. You know, for me, I understand my position in my community. You know, that's why I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do anything, because I know I'm being watched, not just by my young kids, but by the police too.
Yeah.
By those who would just love to see me fail, those who would love to say, I told you so. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still, you know, individuals that believe he's a gang member, even though I'm not. There's still those individuals that believe, oh, he's only in it for the money, even though I'm not.
Right.
So there's going to be that, but you know what? We're supposed to hold our head up high, man. We're kings and queens.
Yeah.
And I never forget, you know, when I was in prison, a CO, Miss Johnson, a black lady, she told me, she came up to me like, Reggie, like, what are you doing? Because I was hanging out, right, in prison. And she was saying, like, man, don't you know that you're a king among men? Why are you here? They're not like you, Reg. You're a king. And I never forget that. I never forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I see it in them, I let them know. I'm like, man, can't you tell that you guys are special? And this group right here, they're special. They're not the ones, they're not going to end up having 4 baby daddies. They're not going to end up in jail. They're not mm-hmm. going to end up hanging out on corners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
These are special. You yeah. can tell.
That's what's up. I think it's amazing, Reggie, that you, of the work that you're doing with Project Aware, it just really just, I have a special place for people like you in my heart. I'm a do-gooder, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely have a special place for people like you. And ladies, I commend you all for the work that you're doing and getting to the root of your problems. It takes a strong person to be able to work through their stuff so that you are able to be a better woman 2 years from now, 6 months from now, you know, 35 years from now. And keep doing what you're doing, and I promise you that there will be great things in your future. Hey, y'all, this is your girl, Lady J. I'm going to close out this show. My baby KJ over there looking all cute and stuff. I see you, boo. Listen, you are listening to Welcome to the Village podcast. You can find us on Welcome to the Village on Facebook. That's Welcome to the number 2, the Village. You can find us on Twitter. You can email. You can tweet me. You can tweet me at Love and Chanel. You can tweet KJ at Welcome to the Village. You can tweet him at Enlighten My Mind. We are on Instagram at Welcome to the number 2, The Village. You could check out our Facebook page, no, our website at www.welcometothevillage.com. I think I got it all. Oh, there's a phone number.
Google voicemail, 619-202-1562. And shout out to our sponsor, Heavenly Touch Dog and Cat Grooming.
And thanks again to the San Diego Public Library for showing us love and allowing us to come in and use your space. We are forever in your debt. Thank you. You all have a wonderful night and check us out again. Good night.
Good night.
I holla. Are you in the area of Melbourne, Florida? Are you in need of an excellent dog or cat groomer that loves your four-legged family as much as you do? Well, at Heavenly Touch Dog and Cat Grooming, we love each other just as we love your pets. Family-owned and run, with perfection as our goal. If you would like to book an appointment, please call us at 321-622-6963. Email us at heavenlytouchdogandcatgrooming@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at Heavenly Touch Dog and Cat Grooming and check out our photo gallery of our adorable, satisfied customers. Come visit us in person, 2260 Sarno Road, Melbourne, Florida, 32935. Visit our website for the most current pet-friendly specials, www.heavenlytouch.vpweb.com. With a variety of services to choose from, we are sure you'll be happy working with us. We know your pet will want to come back for another Heavenly Touch.